In a world where boring sports talk has taken over the airwaves, breaking the mold of basic opinionated sports talk.
Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
There, Reggie. Uncensored and off the chain.
I'm sorry, I don't know what just happened.
No Boundaries Sports Talk Radio with your hosts, Derek Fugers.
But to be the man, you gotta beat the man, and I'm staying right here.
And Greg Wiley,
the cream of the crop, and there is no one that does it better.
For raw, uncut sports on a different level than you're used to. So grab some snacks, turn up the volume, and enjoy sports with no boundaries.
Nobody does it better.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy, High C, and you know what it is. Wake up, wake up, wake up. It's the first of the month. Get up, get up, get up. Talk some sports and come on. Well, my boy, Derek Fugers, how you doing today?
I like that.
That was pretty dope.
That was pretty good.
I freestyled that.
That was pretty good.
Drake, you don't want to see me.
Drake don't want these problems.
Drake don't want this smoke.
He's having problems with OKDOT right now.
I don't know. Listen, you and the one they call Mr. Billy Ellis have told me, I see you go back and listen to Euphoria a couple times. So I'm going to do that. That's probably going to be my song of choice on the way home.
It is an elegant diss.
Okay.
He is not coming at Drake with any funny shit, any type of shit. I told you at the crib, he's coming at Drake as he would be talking to Drake face to face. He's telling him things about Drake that Drake, in my opinion, is going to hurt Drake more than him cracking jokes about his size 7 shoe like Drake did in his disc. But the one thing I have to say before we were off topic and we're talking about rap music, but that's why we're no boundaries, baby, because we go all over the place.
Hey, music goes with sports.
Exactly. But the one thing that I do have to say is there's a lot of people coming at Drake right now. And it's not, you know, it's kind of making me kind of like, all right, well, are they hating or like, or what? You know what I'm saying? So
shout out. We got somebody chiming in from the Twitch. Shout out to Morgan. It is me, Morgan. I haven't seen you in a while. We do a show. I do a show with Johnny Christ. I know you remember the villain from the old STLR days. I do a show with him on Sunday mornings around 9 o'clock. That's going to be a show that would probably be right up your alley, but I hope all is well. I haven't talked to you in a while or seen you, but glad you're tuning in right now. That's pretty dope.
But yeah, you know what I'm saying? So it's a tricky situation, but I still think Kendrick, you know, a lot of people are Drake fans. And I think that whatever Drake puts out, they're going to love. Like Academics, you know what I'm saying? Who's a DJ who swears he knows music, but is saying Drake's up 1-0 right now, which I disagree fully because Drake hasn't hit Kendrick with what anything that Kendrick's done.
DJ Academics is whack. Let's just be real.
He is whack. He is whack. But how much influence he has to certain people? Like, so many people tune into him for info. So, you know what I'm saying? So it's like they're going to ride with whatever these people say. So what do you got?
My boy Jeremy G, my dog Gonzo says, look, dude, or he said, look, Drake came from money and has made a ton of money. He isn't a real rapper.
No.
From the hood, but he makes good music. I think a lot of these rappers do these diss tracks for money and sales. And if you could be right.
I do think this is a more.
He's not the first person I've heard that said that they think they're doing it for clickbait.
Did you see what the baby said on a podcast a couple days ago?
No.
The baby, who was obviously infamously canceled recently from his talks about the gay community.
That Rolling Loud
like
or whatever it was, yep.
But, you know, he's a great rapper. I don't care what anybody says. He was on a hot roll there for a little bit.
He was, except for his. I can only listen to him in stints.
Yeah, I feel you. But he was saying that a rapper that is he will not name hit him up and was like, yo, let's fake diss each other. And he's like, nah, I'm good because, like, I'm going to say, I'm not into it for fake shit because I'm going to say something about you that you're not going to like. And then we're really going to be dissing each other. You know what I'm saying? So, like, there'd be no doubt in my mind if that is the case between Kendrick. Who knows if Kendrick's going to drop a fucking album soon
because
of all this
shit. I don't
think
it is. I mean, maybe Kendrick is working on a project because it has been a while. I don't know if it's more of the clickbait situation because I don't think J. Cole would have come out and been like, yo, that's not my character. You know, I fuck with you, dude. Like, Ladon, he deleted that. He deleted that 7 minutes or whatever it was.
I think J. Cole knows what type of lyricist Kendrick really is.
Yeah.
And I think at the end of the day, like, Drake can portray like he's from the streets. Motherfucker, you were on Degrassi. Like, you were Wheelchair Jimmy before you were fucking Drake. Like, let's be real. I was telling you at the crib, there's no bad places you can go to Toronto, in my opinion. Unless I'm wrong. I've never been to Canada, but in my opinion, rolling through the quick with my whoa, you know what I'm saying?
Tory Lanez.
Yeah.
Canada.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's just Drake is Drake, in my opinion, is a modern day pop star. And I say pop star because that's what, in my opinion, that's what pop is these days. Somebody like Drake.
So you're saying, well, pop is basically, pop is short for popular music.
There you go.
So technically, he is popular music.
Yes, he is.
So you're telling me you're not scared of Justin Bieber?
No, I'm not scared. What?
Celine Dion doesn't strike fear in your heart.
Bro, she would put out a mean diss track. Why do you think ain't nobody come at her?
I'm bringing up Canadians.
Why do you think nobody come at her?
Isn't Bjork? No, she's from like somewhere
Justin
else.
Bieber might be battling some demons.
Alanis right Morissette is Canadian, I believe.
Justin Bieber might be battling some demons right now.
He might be.
Motherfucker's posting pictures of himself.
He was battling Puff Daddy. Let me stop. No Diddy.
But anyway, man, let's get back on fucking track here. Got a great show for you. NFL draft obviously happened. We're all excited about that. We're getting closer and closer to football. We're going to talk a little bit about the Bucs draft, a little bit about the Patriots draft. We're going to see who had the best draft out of all the teams. And I promise you, I won't be biased about the Patriots. We're going to try to ask who do you think that diamond in the rough is that somebody got in later rounds or a second round pick. I mean, who knows? You know, it could be a lot of guys who kind of went unshadowed, foreseen, because six quarterbacks and 25 wide receivers went in the first round. I know that's a rough estimate, but I'm just saying half of the first round was all offensive players, and a lot of great defensive players fell into the second round. So who knows? And of course, we got the NBA playoffs to get into. And we got a little bit of wrestling question as well. I kind of want to ask Craig this question, and I want everybody else's opinion. But first things first, let's get into the sneaker topics. The Space Jam 11 Lows are coming out May 18th this month. I'm so excited for these shoes, Craig.
Yes.
I got the Space Jam highs. I don't care. The Lows, man, I don't know what it is about Lows, but Lows, especially with the 11s, are just so nice to me, and I think you could agree with me as well, but man, the only problem I have with these is they're going to have 23 on the back rather than 45 like the Space Jams do, which I'm okay with, but at the same time, look, I got a pair of 11 Lows on right now, baby, you know what I'm saying? They're a little dirty because they're work shoes now, but hey, listen, man, you know, but it's just like I can't wait for these shoes, and I got to ask you a question. Do you think the 11 Lows are better than the high tops? Because that's the debate going on right now.
Comfortability-wise, I would say because you don't have them high up around your ankle.
Okay. But look-wise.
Look-wise, I like the OGs.
I think the high tops are just so iconic.
They are.
You know what I'm saying? From the movie, I mean,
mm-hmm.
That movie is just so
fucking good.
Plus,
if you look at them, see, those don't have the Jumpman on the side, though. And the high tops got the Jumpman on the side.
Yeah, these got the Jumpman on the back,
mm-hmm.
On the back heel. So.
And I feel like that just on the side, MJ just like,
oh, I just licked the mic. Sorry, Zach, if you're Johnny, whoever, you got to touch this one. You're getting a little taste of Derek on that one.
It's going to be Zach tomorrow.
Hey! But Space Jam 11 Lows coming out May 18th. Get excited for those because they'll be good ones. And the Military Blue 4s come out this Saturday.
I'm not a fan of those.
I was, but honestly, dude, I got so many 4s. I don't really want another pair, dude. Like, I was really looking forward to those.
Carter's stuck on the 4s now. He loves the 4s.
I seen it. He sent me a picture of his little pot green ones that he's got. But I just got so many 4s, honestly. I don't know if I really want another pair. I really don't.
I got the ones I want.
Listen, I know you do. I know you do. But we at the same time, ones. I don't know. I might try for them. I know it all depends on how I'm feeling. I still have a chance to put it on the Flex app and go for them on the Sneakers app. Who knows, though? But next question. Got a question for you, Mr. Craig. Hi, C. Right. What is your favorite wrestling finisher? And we all know wrestlers have their finishing move. You know what I'm saying? Some examples. Stone Cold Stunner, Rock Bottom, FU, F5, Choke Slam.
It's really hard because there's so many great ones. I mean, can you really go wrong with a classic like the Tombstone that was so iconic for years? Because there's some cheesy ones out there. I've always thought Hulk Hogan's leg drop was whack as fuck. That was
cheesy. Couldn't agree more.
That was cheesy as hell.
Couldn't agree more.
But, I mean, the Sharpshooter was beast.
Woo!
You had the Tombstone was beast. Hell,
was it Tombstone a finishing move? Oh yeah, it was. That was Undertaker's finishing move.
Mm-hmm.
Him and Kane, actually, if I'm not mistaken.
What's another? I mean, there's definitely some good ones. I mean, hell, even the RVD five star frog splash was gangster. He used to get some air. Your boy Rey Mysterio 619.
That's good.
That's a good one.
That's one of my like most. I wouldn't say it's my favorite, but it's up there with like the most energetic. Like how he gets around those fucking ropes is a little ass, all right, bro.
So you, this is gonna be honorable mention. I don't know if this is gonna be necessarily my favorite finisher. It's a fave because of what happens.
Okay.
After said person wins the match.
Okay.
My boy Jake the Snake with the DDT, bam! Then he brings out
the Python.
After the 1, 2, 3, we get Damien the Python.
We get Damien. Okay. That's honorable mention.
That's honorable mention.
I wouldn't know if it's necessary. It's up there.
It's just honorable mention because of what happens after the fact.
For me,
the Diamond Cutter, Diamond Dallas Page.
That's a good one. But it's got to go to Stunner.
The RKO?
No, the RKO is good. Randy, how many RKOs that Randy Orton's pull off, like catching people out of midair? That's some of the craziest shit that I've ever seen.
What about
But the Stunner.
What about the Walls of Jericho?
I'll put Kurt Angle's ankle lock over that, in my opinion. And I'll put RIP
Wasn't Ken Shamrock the original ankle guy?
Probably. But I'll put Chris Benoit's fucking...
The Canadian Crippler?
Yeah. Over both of those, honestly.
Okay.
RIP. Crazy motherfucker.
He was crazy.
Could we say RIP for him?
I mean, I guess so.
Should we say rest in peace, motherfucker? Killed his two loved ones. I don't know if you could say rest in peace. More like rest in piss, I guess. But yeah, I have to go with the Stone Cold Stunner, man. I think that kick to the fucking thing and that bah, and then motherfucker selling it like the Rock.
I like the Rock Bottom.
I don't, man. I like the People's Elbow more than I like the Rock Bottom.
I like the Rock Bottom, but probably one of my favorites would be the Tombstone. And shout out to Morgan chiming in. She says, I got those sneaks on lock when they come out. I'm getting those suckers.
Say less. Say less.
I like your style, Morgan.
I like your style.
I got the high top ones, so I like your style.
I got the high top ones as well. I don't even care if I got the high top ones. I'm getting the lows. That's a fact, Jack.
The bitches look clean.
That is a fact, Jack. But yeah, I'm going Stone Cold Stunner. You're saying Tombstone. All right.
Actually, you know what? I just thought about something. How can I forget about my dog Macho Man with that flying elbow? That was a pretty... I'm going to go with the sharpshooter.
Bret Hart?
I like the sharpshooter.
Bret Hart?
I can't decide. Damn. I like
There's a lot of good ones. That's why I asked the question.
That Macho Man flying elbow was gangster, though.
I like Brock Lesnar's. I like the F5 too. I like the F5 too.
Goldberg spear?
That's iconic. But how many people developed the spear? Edge, Rhino, Goldberg.
It was so funny because the other day I was out door hanging.
I like the guys who have their own finisher, people who continuously do use theirs.
I was out door hanging and I was putting up some, you know, some marketing stuff, and I seen some competition from, you know, I seen other pest companies in the neighborhood I happened to be walking in, you know what I'm saying? I feel like a Crip and Blood territory or something like that.
That's how I feel when I see a UPS and a FedEx driver come up at the same time.
And I was just like, damn, dog, we want to go up to these motherfuckers and spear their ass like Goldberg. Bam!
I swear to God, that's how I feel about UPS and FedEx drivers. Like when they come up to my work at the same time, I'm like, do y'all like each other? Or like, do y'all feel like you got to duke it out every time you see each other?
You know what pissed me off is I thought for sure once I got into the chip game, like, I was going to walk down the aisle. Coca-Cola and Pepsi were going to be down that bitch. Yeah. It was going to be some gang signs
talking
getting thrown
real
up.
Blood versus like, Crip. Blue
fuck,
and red,
like,
dog.
Fuck Mr. Pibb. Bitch, we got Dr. Pepper over in this bitch. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, I thought they were like, with your flat-ass fake Coke, you know what I'm saying? Coke, the real thing, with your fake-ass Pepsi. I was all flat and shit. Like, bro.
People try to tell me that.
None of that ever happened. I was sad.
People try to tell me that you could put a Coke and a Pepsi in front of you blindfolded and you won't be able to taste
bullshit.
It. Bullshit. That is bullshit. You could blind taste, and honestly, I want to do it one day.
I'll take that challenge and your $100 for whoever wants to bet me.
You can pick out 6 different sodas and blind taste test me, and I guarantee you I could pick out each and every one of them off the blind taste test. And I know this has nothing to do with sports, but we can gamble on it. We can make it interesting.
The sports bet.
We can make it real interesting. Motherfuckers bet on table tennis. We can fucking bet on which fucking Coke I pick right. Because I guarantee you I can go 6 for 6.
Am I the only one who thinks this should be listed on the Hard Rock app as ping pong?
Table tennis, dog.
I like ping pong.
We've been playing ping pong at work, man.
That's just fun.
It is fun. You get your bud pumping too.
You was getting your Forrest Gump on.
I tried, bro. I tried that today. It's hard.
It's hard, bro.
It's hard. Forrest Gump was a G, even though he wasn't a real person. Most interesting man in the world. It was really Forrest Gump. I don't think people really.
Could
know
you
that.
Imagine a football team if they drafted Uncle Rico and Forrest Gump?
They'd be undefeated.
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 Facts.
If you have like Gary Butier and fucking Julius Campbell and on the defense side, what? And you got fucking Jamie Foxx throwing the fucking ball to him.
You know what I haven't figured out yet?
What?
How come nobody in the NFL has ever drafted John Cena as a running back?
I don't.
Because you
I
can't
think,
see him.
I don't think you can see him.
How you gonna tackle him?
I don't think I've physically ever seen John Cena, and yeah, I don't think I've ever seen him before.
Is he even real? Is it just a myth?
I think it's a myth.
Only time I've ever seen him was in Ricky Stenicki.
Yeah. Great movie, by
great.
Way.
It was hilarious.
Great fucking movie.
Great movie. If you guys have not seen Ricky Stenicki, this is No Boundaries. You guys hear her first. You know, we be in the movie. I feel like we should incorporate some movies every
Grab
now.
Grab that dick. Don't. Just whip it quick.
Yeah. And those guys were really chasing him around because of your boy White Wedding.
Yes, bro. Billy Idol.
Billy Idol. Billy Idol really saw my show.
Dog. That's a great movie.
It's on Netflix.
If you haven't seen it, go see it.
Or not Netflix, it's on Amazon, right?
Amazon Prime, yeah. Amazon Ricky Stenicki, bro. It's fucking hilarious. Shout out Andrew Santino, one of my favorite comedians in that movie.
And he actually, which one is that?
The Redhead.
Okay. And he actually did pretty good in the shit with Will Ferrell, Daddy's Home or whatever.
Yeah, he kind of had a smaller role in that.
But he was still pretty good.
He was funny with when him and Mark Wahlberg, Joseph and the Wise Man rumbling in the manger. Like, I could talk about movies all fucking day.
Well,
long.
I know we could.
There was a meme on the feed the other day that said, "What's the one movie that you could recite word for word?" And I was like, "I could give you 10 of them." I mean,
The Goonies.
That's not one for me. Ace Ventura, Pet Detective. You know what I'm saying? That's probably one.
I feel like I could do Friday.
Friday's probably
only
one.
Only because all of them have been recited to me multiple times over my life.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, the list goes on and on. I could recite a movie word for word. It's wild. Like Shrek maybe too. Shrek's a good one.
Facts.
I don't think people really realize how iconic Shrek was. That was like one of the first like animated comedies that we like not like animated, but like I know Tom and Jerry and shit like that existed, but I'm talking about like, what am I looking for? Like not,
I know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like animated in the sense of like.
Someone has chimed in and said Your Highness is an easy one.
Your Highness? What the fuck is that?
The movie Your Highness.
With Danny McBride. That's a terrible fucking movie.
But they could probably recite it.
Oh, okay. I thought we were talking about good movies. No, yeah, okay, yeah. I've seen it once, and I didn't like it.
You didn't like it?
Nah, I didn't like it. And I love Danny McBride and fucking, well, not Franco, because Franco's a pedophile, I think. Or he's a sex offender.
Pineapple Express?
That's another one.
That's a good-ass movie.
Your dick, my mouth.
I feel like Stepbrother. I feel like I could do Stepbrothers.
Stepbrother. Oh my god. There's not one Night of the Rocks, any Will Ferrell movie, in my opinion, I could probably recite.
Both knows. Boy said, Snoop-a-loop.
Snoop-a-loop.
Bring you in the green hat. Talking to Magic, non-magic one.
That's
oh
fucking
god.
From Old School.
That's from Old School. Yeah, that's right.
Snoop-a-loop. We're going streaking.
That's another one you could probably do.
How'd we get into movies?
I don't know.
Oh, John Cena, Ricky Stenicki. Shout out John
Ricky
Cena.
Ricky Stenicki.
NBA playoffs are obviously started. We already got two teams advancing to the next round. OKC getting off the clean sweep over the New Orleans Pelicans. And then the Phoenix Suns getting just swept, dogged down by the number one team, or the number three team, I'm sorry, in the West.
If somebody would have bet, if there was a possible at the beginning of the season to bet that the Suns would get swept in the first round of the playoffs, the plus would have been so crazy. Somebody could have probably bet $100 on that and cashed out like $5,000-$6,000.
You asked me if they needed to blow it up. I think, and I told you, I think they need time to get a – Bradley Beal missed a lot of games this season. I don't think they really had a chance to get really the full team playing as a full season together. I think they're going to be fine. I think the Minnesota Timberwolves are just that good. They got so many answers between Rudy Gobert, Ant, Karl-Anthony Towns, and you got Naz Reid. I mean, it's just there's so many talent. And then you got McDaniels playing just great defense over there. They got so many options. And, you know, and obviously Ant is playing incredible basketball. I mean, the dude is possibly Michael Jordan's son. I mean, there's no telling. I mean, Michael Jordan, if he fathered many children out there because of how much Jay he was probably getting back in the day. But who knows? I mean, I'm just saying Anthony Edwards was born August 28th, 2001, and Michael Jordan was playing on the Wizards in 2000, and Ant is from Atlanta, and Michael Jordan did play the Atlanta Hawks on November 28th, 2000. So the nine almost adds up. So, I mean, you know, who knows what's going to happen? I mean, I know we were just talking about this. Marcus and Jeff Jordan – they don't really look like their dad at all.
Not a whole lot, no.
And Ant almost looks identical to a rookie year Michael Jordan in the face, bro. Like
kind of does.
There's a side-by-side picture that we could share that it's wild, bro. It is wild from the nose to the everything, bro. Like everything is almost identical. Like so it's
who knows?
I'm not saying it's true, but you know, I know everybody thought the same thing with Jimmy Butler, but bro, it's even more scary with.
I feel like Maury needs to come out of retirement to do that DNA test.
I don't think Mike would ever do it. I don't think Mike would ever do it. I think it would tarnish his rep a little bit.
Probably.
I think people would look at him like, "Oh, how many other kids you got out there that you don't know about?" You so know what I'm saying?
I got a question for you since we are talking about NBA playoffs.
Okay.
Are your boys going to get back on track against the Heat, or are the Heat going to get in that ass again?
We're up 3-1.
Hey, the Heat might drop another 23-piece on y'all.
Nah, bro. Nah.
You think it ends tonight?
Oh, it ends tonight. I said Celtics in 5. Okay. I knew the Heat were going to get one game. I didn't think they were going to get one game in Boston, but we're going to kick their ass tonight. Take the over.
That's going to be a team that's going to have to do some soul searching, if you will, in the offseason is the Miami Heat. They got to do something. I don't know what they got to do, but
they're saying that they could possibly take a look at trading for Kevin Durant. I don't know.
I did hear some stuff about that as well.
I don't know. I think that
the DP show was talking about
it. There's a lot of things with the Heat. Jimmy Butler obviously hurt. He's a big part of what they're doing over there. I mean, I'm not saying Jimmy Butler would be a big difference maker in these games, but he would obviously add some type of threat for the Celtics in the long run. But, I mean, I think the Heat are good enough, but at the end of the day, what were they last year? They were the 8th seed, you know what I'm saying? And the year before that, they weren't a high seed. I mean, they were the number 1 seed, actually. But they've gone down in seeds every year, and they're getting worse and worse. So something's got to change over there.
Man, we got some people chiming in on the Twitch. Fuck KD. He doesn't belong in Miami.
Listen, I don't disagree with that. I don't necessarily – listen, Kevin Durant possibly is one of the – And you can disagree with me, but he has one of the smoothest mid-range jump shots that I've ever seen in my life. I mean, it's so consistent at times, and there's times where he's just not good. But, I mean, I can't hate on Kevin Durant, but he definitely does need a supporting cast to get him back to if he ever wants to think about winning another championship.
Sarasota Strangler, shout out to them with the freaking throwback Mike Tyson little picture for their thing. I like it.
But, yeah, I know who that is.
Okay.
I know who that is.
Who is it?
I don't know him, but he follows me on when I used to stream on Twitch, and then okay. We follow each other on the old X machine.
Okay.
So I know exactly who that is.
Dope.
Yeah. But you know, but at the same time, you what?
He says KD got the ashiest ankles.
He got the ashiest ankles, and he's got fucking spider webs in his head. I mean, let's be real. The dude doesn't brush his hair. And he's got the biggest bald spot in the back of my head. Him and LeBron need to let it go. They need to let it go. Cut your fucking hair. Join the bald head for men. Bald head club for men. It's not hard. It's not bad.
I'm
you know
there.
What I'm saying?
I'm
We're
going
there.
To, I'm going to get tied up tomorrow.
We're there. You know what I'm saying? We rock it.
I almost want to get my dog JT Money up on the mic. Let it go. Let it go.
Just let it go, man.
If your hair want to go, let it go.
LeBron, you got the money for freaking implants or transplant. I'm sure you've already done it.
What if LeBron comes to play next year with the Bob Ross afro?
Bro, I'll laugh. Or he got that Carlos Boozer, the painted on fucking hairline.
Today we're going to pretty little three-pointers over here.
I tell you what, I seen a report today saying that the Lakers are seriously considering drafting Bronny in this upcoming draft. If they do that, listen, man, I have no beef with Bronny. And at the end of the day, I think he could be a great defender. I really do. I think Bronny could be a really good defender.
Nobody has beef with Bronny. Everybody I've heard talk about the situation that have said even the same thing literally says, look, Bronny ain't ready. He needs another year.
He's not ready.
But, you know, when you got the power.
If Bronny was 6'9", 265 like his dad, we'd talk about that. But he's not. He's not. He doesn't have the size of his dad. He doesn't have the weight like his dad does. But at the end of the day, Bronny's going to come into the NBA and he's going to be playing grown-ass men. And it's going to be the game changer. Will he be able to adapt? Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think the Lakers are a fucking team that's in the part of developing players. And at the end of the day, regardless if it's a fucking LeBron son, you're still going to have to develop Bronny. You know what I'm saying? Like, and the Lakers are in win-now mode. They want to win a championship with LeBron again, and they want to win another championship for the fucking franchise. So what makes you think that getting somebody like Bronny is going to help them, especially if they're not going to fully try to develop the guy?
Facts.
I mean, look at the people who are rookies, first-round picks. Paolo, he's being developed by the Magic right now. He's slowly turning into one of the greatest players, not the greatest players, one of the best players in the NBA. I mean, the kid is incredibly talented.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, look at all these other guys. Look at Scoot Henderson. He hadn't had the best rookie season, but they are developing him into a better point guard. Wimby's on a terrible Spurs team, but he's going to get better and better as the seasons go.
Once they get them a good point guard over there.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to be fine. I can go as far as say that the Spurs will make the play-in tournament next year. And this is coming from the third pick in the draft. Wimby is that good.
Yeah.
He is in a train. I didn't think he was going to be that guy. He has more blocks and more steals combined this year than any of the last 9 Defensive Player of the Year winners. That's saying something. And I know the Spurs weren't that good, but guess what? That's why it was it's an individual award, not a team award.
Yeah.
We're not giving a defensive player of the defensive team of the year. We're giving it to the defensive player of the year. And if the defensive player of the year has the most blocks and most steals, shouldn't that person get defensive player of the year?
Sounds like defense to me.
That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But I do think the Celtics are going to take care of business tonight. They're going to move on. And they play the winner of the Cleveland and Orlando game. I'm really hoping Orlando pulls it out.
Cleveland's up 3-2 right now, though.
One positive thing coming from Orlando is that last night was the first time the Cavs have scored over 100 points in this series. So the defense is there for Orlando. Like, let's be real. Especially playing at home. They're a different team playing at home.
They are.
So, and I think that can be said about a lot of teams in this year's NBA playoffs. I think home court advantage is a huge, huge reason of why teams win in certain situations. You look at the Clippers, they actually won in Dallas their last game, but that was a tough fucking win for them. They were up 31, let that fucking lead slip away, lost the lead, went down, and then came back and won it. So, I mean, but Kyrie Irving and Luka and that team, they're still missing some pieces, man. They're a good team. They got a lot of young talent and Gafford and Derek Lively. But
Luka's a beast.
They're still missing one piece. I do think they're missing one piece. And I can't quite figure that out if it's a big download. And I love Gafford. I think Daniel Gafford could be that guy. And I think they're going to expect him to be that guy. But I still think the Mavs are still a couple pieces, maybe one piece away from being that championship caliber team.
They'll definitely make some moves.
The West is going to get better and better every year. I mean, if you look at OKC, they're young as hell right now, but they're good. And they're going to get better every year. Same with Minnesota. So let's just be real. These teams are going to get better and better, including the Mavericks. So we'll see what happens. But coming out of the East, I don't know, man. The Knicks, I thought the Knicks were good, but they blew a fucking six. But you know, I'm going to tell you how the Knicks pissed me off, bro.
I think 76ers might come back and win the series.
Let me tell you something, Craig.
I think the Knicks celebrated a wee bit too early.
If you didn't watch that game last night, the Knicks go up by six, all right? Knicks go up by six. Off of two turnovers from Joel Embiid forcing shit. Should have just gave the ball to Tyrese Maxey because that was the fucking dude with the hot hand last night. But whatever. Knicks go up by six. Tyrese Maxey goes down, hits a fucking three, gets fouled, hits the three-pointer, and then goes to the line, hits a four-point play. Knicks are down by up by two. They fucking get the ball. Great job by Philly by not fouling Jalen Brunson, their best free throw shooter, and fouling Josh Hart, who's a 79% free throw shooter. He misses the first one, barely gets it to the fucking rim, hits off the front of the rim, makes the second one. Knicks are only up by three. Guess who gets a fucking 35-footer and knocks it down like it's nothing? Tyrese fucking Maxey. Ties the fucking game. They go in overtime. They lose in overtime by the fucking Philadelphia 76ers.
I think Philly might come back and win.
So, you know what? Let me tell you something. If Joel Embiid wants to stop playing selfish fucking basketball and actually get rid of the ball like he did last night at times, since he had a triple-double, his first playoff career triple-double, then I think they're going to be fine. But if he's going to be selfish and turn the fucking ball over like he did and to give the Knicks that six-point lead, then they're not going to win shit.
Yeah.
But if he can work with Tyrese and learn to pass out of those bad situations like he was doing last night, they're going to be fine.
I think he feels a lot of pressure because of who he is.
The Knicks aren't that good, in my opinion. The Knicks aren't that good.
They're on the come up good, but they're not.
I'm not a fan of Julius Randle, and I know he's not playing, but I'm not a fan of Julius Randle. I think Julius Randle's eh. I think Jalen Brunson, I think Kelly Oubre said it best. Yeah, Jalen Brunson scores 40-something points a lot, but he also takes 40 fucking shots a game. And when Kelly Oubre said it, when you're a player with that type of caliber of talent, you're going to fucking score buckets if you fucking keep shooting.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real. So, I don't know. I just think the Knicks are a couple pieces away, just like the Mavs. And I'm not being biased at all because I'm a Celtics fan. I just think the Celtics are by far the better team in the East this year. Yeah, Kristaps Porzingis got hurt, but I think he's only going to miss a few games. And honestly, let's be real. Magic and Cleveland are still playing. They still got two games to go. Hopefully, they fucking go seven games, and it gives us the time to fucking rest Porzingis, and he gets a week to rest. So, I'm hoping for that, but who knows? We'll see.
Your boy Soda Strangler said, Knicks ain't been good since Big Pat Ewing.
Facts. Ewing was in tennis last night. Guess what? They fucking lost.
Damn.
So, maybe that's why they fucking lost.
It's the Ewing curse.
It is the Ewing curse. Damn you, Pat. Damn you, you fucking... I'm not even going to say that because people will call me a racist. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it. Going to the NFL draft. Are you happy with what happened, what the Bucks did? Are you happy?
Actually, I'm very happy with what they've done. I think they addressed the offensive line, which was probably one of their biggest talked about things. I think we were dead last in rushing last year as far as being – I think we're like 32 – overall with our like overall rushing yards or whatever, or like rush yards per attempt or whatever it was. I think with them drafting the center first,
that best center available,
that the best center in the draft.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Best center out there.
Then if he comes in and does what he's supposed to do, grabs a hold of that job, you can move Hainsey, who is more of a natural guard,
back over to guard.
We brought in two guys that can play guard and tackle, one from the Eagles, one from the Giants. So there's a little bit of depth right there to what we've already had. Then we drafted the guy, and a lot of stuff that I was reading about, the I think his last name was Klein, in the sixth or seventh round. I think it was the sixth round.
The running
back? No. He's an offensive lineman as well from a smaller school. But I think it was like Northwestern or something like that, maybe he played for. But we drafted him the sixth round, and a lot of things that I've said, like, yeah, he may not be a starter, but he's going to be good, solid depth for, you know, give some guys some rest. They can go in. He can, you know, play a couple, you know, snaps at guard, give a couple of guys a breather, and then come back out. Or in a pinch, like, somebody gets banged up, you know, he's probably serviceable for a couple of games till – you know, things get figured out or whatever. And he's supposed to have a mean streak as well as the center we just drafted. So we got two young guys with some mean streaks. We have Cody with the missing teeth. That was our rookie last year. Tristan Wirfs, you already know.
Stud.
Gedeky came on towards the end of the year last year. So I think with our offensive line being better, we brought in Bucky Irving, who everybody's been high on as far as him being a complimentary running back to Rashard White. So if those guys that can actually run block and do their thing and move some manimals and create some holes, let these guys who can catch out the backfield and are a little bit smaller running backs that can, you know, get through those creases and they get a little bit of daylight, they could break it for, you know, a good 15, 20 yards. If we get that yard per carry up in like the 4.5 yard range, this is going to be a different offense. Then we just, you know, we brought Mike Evans back. We got a third round wide receiver that a lot of people were saying, you know, had he not got dinged up this year, his numbers would have been higher, but his numbers last year were really good. He was from Miami or from Washington. I think it was like, I forgot his name already. I don't have it pulled up, but pretty damn good.
Now, what about defensively? That was my question, because I feel like that was some of the addressing of needs that you guys needed as well.
Well, defensive end, we got the guy from Alabama, and from what it sounded like.
What about the secondary? I know you lost Carlton Davis.
We did bring in some secondary help, but we kind of addressed secondary during
free agency
as well. So I think they kind of went over some stuff, and even like we brought in a safety from Alabama, but they're talking about he's probably going to play some safety and some nickel cornerback.
He ain't no Cooper DeJean, though. I mean,
he ain't no Cooper DeJean. I would have that's who I would have liked, but he was already off the board by the time we picked in the second round.
White boy cornerback, man. Cooper DeJean.
Guess where he went?
Fucking Philly, man.
I think. Oh yeah, he did go to Philly.
He went to Philly.
Oh, it's Kool-Aid. Kool-Aid went to the Saints.
Kool-Aid. What a name.
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
What a fucking name.
He should have been drafted. They should have just said, look, nobody could draft him. He has to go to the Bucks so he could wear a red jersey.
I would love to hear the explanation of why his mother chose that name.
I think it's a nickname.
You sure?
Yes. I'm pretty sure it's a nickname from him drinking Kool-Aid when he was a kid.
They announced it at the fucking draft, Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah, they do that, though. I mean, they announced.
Do they?
They announced your boy is Chop Robinson. And that's not his real name.
I don't know, bro. I feel like Kool-Aid might be his real name.
We'll have to look it up. Google challenge right now. Is it his real name?
I feel, bro, because it's not any far-fetched than somebody naming their daughter Mercedes or Bentley.
We'll find out.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just, I don't know, bro. I just feel like the explanation of it, like, I get it, but like, did they introduce Sauce Gardner or Sauce Gardner?
They did.
Did they?
Yes.
And is that his first name?
You ready?
Wait, that's his first name, though, isn't it?
You ready? JaQuincy Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Why are they giving these guys the fucking...
I think it's because he used to drink Kool-Aid when he's a legit...
That doesn't mean you announce his fucking name in the draft, Kool-Aid!
Yes, you do.
No!
Maybe that's what he wanted to be... That's what he wants to go by.
I wouldn't have wanted to be called Fatback Fugers!
But I think he got... I think he actually has an NIL deal with Kool-Aid.
I'm sure he does! What the fuck?
He probably just got paid 200 racks for them calling him Kool-Aid McKinstry. It was even on the thing, too. Like, the little thing on the bottom of the TV where it says, like, the player's name. It was on there as Kool-Aid.
Did you see what, what's that white boy, defensive lineman y'all had? Carl Nassib, did you see what he said during the draft? I love that, man. I love that. I love that, like... And if you guys didn't see, Carl Nassib said that. I see a lot of diamonds, a lot of jewels out here. I just want to let y'all know that that's not the important thing. Save your money, you know what I'm saying? Invest it smartly. And I love that because I feel like a lot of kids, because you know, you're getting an 18-year-old, 19, or not 18-year-old, 20, 21-year-old kid coming in who's about to make millions of dollars, man. And all they see is that gold, those diamond chains and shit that the rappers are wearing. And it's all material shit that you don't really need, you know? You can't take that shit with you when you retire, or you can, but... At the end of the day, that's all flashy shit that really not important. So I loved hearing him say that just because, you know, there's not a lot of guys in the NFL who get to hear something like that. And I feel like that's really important. You know, I don't think, you know, this thing could end abruptly for you. You never know when it's going to end for you. You never know. I mean, what is the average year, average length of a career in the NFL? Is like 3 to 4 years?
Yeah, something like that. And I mean, Gio, so hell, if you're like, running back, you're not even guaranteed a second contract these days.
No, man, like Dalvin Cook, bro. What the fuck is going on, dude? I don't understand how Dalvin Cook does not have a fucking job right now. I'm
crazy.
So confused, dude. Like, he was one of the top five running backs 3 years ago. Now he's fucking jobless. And Ezekiel Elliott's fucking going back to Dallas on a one-year, $3 million deal on a fucking number he's wearing. 15. I love it, bro.
15, going back to his college
Trey
number.
Lance has changed his number from 15 to 19 and giving Ezekiel Elliott 15.
Nice.
But you know what I'm saying? I just don't get it, dude. Like, and let's be real. This year wasn't like a star-studded running back class neither. And I get it. You know, just, a lot of running backs are a dime a dozen that some teams feel like. But I feel like that veteran guy is also good to have.
Personally,
man.
I would rather have Delvin Cook than freaking Chase Edmonds.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, I don't – like, why didn't – like, I guess Jerry loves Zeke. But, like, dude, like – I feel like y'all should have and the Derrick Henry wanted to go to Dallas. He's from Texas. Like, that's where he's fucking from. He said he would love it. It would have been the most ideal situation. He was at the Dallas Mavericks game a fucking couple nights ago. He loves Dallas. Like, and they didn't even fucking offer him, bro. He didn't even hear from them, bro. Like, I don't understand y'all's mindset, bro. Like, and knowing that the running game is so fucking monumental of what you guys have been doing the last 4 years. Especially trying to take it off the pressure with Dak.
And they lost Tony Pollard.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Like, it's just, it's wild to me. And maybe they don't have the money to do it, but I feel like if you would have offered him, Derrick Henry might have taken a little bit of less money to come play for the team where he's most situated at. I mean, he said it on the podcast. That would have been the most ideal situation for me. Like, bro, I'm looking at the chops if I'm Jerry Jones. That's why that dude needs to fucking relieve his fucking duties as a GM, bro. And let somebody else run that fucking team because he's not doing anything to help it, bro.
Like your boy says, he says, Jerry is the reason the Cowboys are ass and I love it.
It is, bro. He is the reason. They will not win a Super Bowl until he dies. It's sad to fucking say.
He's the reason why Jimmy Johnson left.
It's 100% the fucking truth, dude. You push away like players who want to be there, and you're not really wanting to offer guys who do want to be there. Like Derrick fucking Henry. Like, come on, bro. I have full expectations that the Ravens are going to go to the Super Bowl next year with Derrick Henry on their fucking team. Yeah. Let's be real. Like, now Lamar doesn't have to run the fucking ball 100 fucking times a game. He's going to leave him to be able to throw the ball in the pocket a little bit more. And Lamar's not a bad pocket passer. And I know he does well on the move. But at the same time, man, it's going to take so much stress off of fucking Lamar, bro. All right. Question for you. Who had the best draft out of all the 32 teams in the NFL? And I feel like me and you are going to have to say the same one. So I'm going to try to think. I have a secondary team.
I don't know who had the best per se. But
from what you've seen,
I do like what the Eagles did, and I feel like the Eagles and the Lions both did really well with their draft.
Yeah, the Lions getting the best DB off the board in the first round,
and then they doubled up and got another DB in the second round.
Yep, and so Dan Campbell is a hell of a coach, man. I think people are forgetting, you know, how good that Lions team is going to be. They paid Amon-Ra St. Brown, made him the highest paid receiver, one of the highest paid, until fucking A.J. Brown comes in and gets a 3-year, $94 million deal, making $32 million a year. Fucking hell, bro. These receivers are making as much money as quarterbacks were making 10 years ago, dude. Can you fucking believe that, bro? That's wild.
I think the Bears had a pretty good draft.
I'd love what the Bears did. I think...
And they scared me because historically over the last few years, they've been a shit team.
There's two teams who got rookie quarterbacks who I think are in the really good positioning. Caleb Williams, in my opinion, couldn't have gone to a more perfect situation. They got fucking Keenan Allen. They already got DJ Moore over there. Cole Kmet was a fucking great tight end for them.
They brought in DeAndre Swift.
I mean, it's an ideal for situation. I know he said he didn't want to go there, but I think...
And who they draft?
That dude from Washington, the best receiver.
Odunze.
Yeah, Odunze. And him and Caleb have already been throwing with each other with Keenan Allen because I'm sure they probably told him, look, we're going to stay there at 9 and we're going to pick what's-his-face from fucking Washington. You know what I'm saying? Like, they probably told him what they were going to do. So I think him and I think J.J. McCarthy have gone to the two most ideal situations.
McCarthy, who people have said may not be the best quarterback, but having probably the best or arguably top three wide receiver in the NFL right now.
If not the best.
That's what I'm saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like, not to mention they got fucking Aaron Jones. You got TJ fucking Hockenson. You got Jordan Addison, who had a great rookie season for them last year. they'll be fucking fine, bro. And the defense, they built on the defensive side through the draft as well. I think J.J. McCarthy and Caleb Williams went to the best situation to win immediately
so far.
So far. And I know it's wild to say, but I can comfortably say right now from what's on paper, from what I see, unless it's the coaching that fucks the Bears, I do believe the Bears are a playoff team right now. People can say Caleb Williams is going to be a bust all they want because he paints his fucking nails and he's a little bit spicy. But I think he's a great thrower. He's very accurate. Yeah, he didn't have much success in college with USC and Oklahoma, but he has the tape and he has the ability to be a really good quarterback in the NFL.
So Jeremy G says that Arizona had a great draft. Yeah, they had like 500 fucking picks. I got tired of Arizona. Yeah,
no, did they have three third-round picks?
Something like that.
Yeah.
And then your boy Strangler says, my Niners got a solid QB for $900K a year.
Hey, listen.
You got a point.
I think the Saints had a good draft as well. I think the Saints getting Kool-Aid, and then they drafted the one quarterback. No, they didn't. I'm thinking about the Jets who drafted fucking old Jordan Travis from
Bro,
FSU.
You know what gets me with the internet every time, though, since we're talking about the draft? The meme they came out with that says Spencer Rattler looks like the
Pat
guy
Mahomes who played
the guy cast to play Pat Mahomes in a documentary about Kelsey dating Taylor Swift or something like that.
The internet's undefeated.
They're undefeated.
It blows
he
my
does
mind.
He does look like Mahomes from Wish.
Timu, yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
it looks like Mahomes from Timu for sure. With a little bit more redder hair, and you know what? Why Spencer Rattler fell? I guess a lot of teams didn't like that he was in that Netflix series when he was in high school. They didn't like that. They didn't like that.
Well, from what
the
I was
spotlight's
hearing,
constantly been on him.
What I heard from the some people that were on the sports radio, they were saying that in that series he was a real douchebag.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah.
And then, like, his attitude.
Oh, that's where Spencer Rattler went. He went to the fucking Saints.
Yeah.
So, like I said, if Spencer could be good, I know that Derek Carr, but who knows, bro? I mean, that's why I think they had a decent
Well, he's
draft.
Not rushing to anything either.
No, exactly. They're not. They're
he's got a year or two.
Yeah, exactly. So, I could see them having I thought they had a good draft. And this is my biased opinion coming out here. I thought the Patriots had a good draft.
They had a pretty solid draft.
I think they addressed every need. We picked one defensive player. It was all offense out of that, and I love that. That's what we had. Our defense is going to be fucking fine. Patriots defense is going to be fine. We're still going to have the number one defense, I guarantee you. Before Christian Gonzalez got hurt, me and him had a bet. Not a bet, but I said maybe two teams were going to throw for over 300 yards. Craig, you know how many people threw for over 300 yards in this last season?
How many?
Five. I wasn't far off.
No.
So, and that's with Chris, one of our best players defensively, DB-wise, who was drafted last year.
Out.
Judon was hurt.
Quarterback carousel.
I mean, dude, I'm telling you, bro. I think we did an amazing job at filling the voids that we needed. We got a really good, I love the Joe Milton pick. I love it because he's going to be our third string quarterback immediately. And I would love to see a battle between him and Drake May. I don't know. I just think Joe Milton is a great pick for the Patriots just because now you got a third string.
So I got a question for you on the opposite spectrum. Who you think had a horrible draft?
I know that a lot of people like the Xavier Worthy pick. I don't think the Bills had a really good draft. I know they got Keon Coleman, and but I don't think the Bills have the best draft. I don't think that the Chiefs had the best draft, even though the Chiefs don't really need much. But I don't. Xavier Worthy looks a little fragile.
Atlanta was a little head scratching at some points too. With
who?
Atlanta.
Oh yeah.
With the Michael Penix. When here's what I feel with the Atlanta thing, and I've been listening.
I feel like a lot of people would say Atlanta, just because of what they did.
Well, so we know that there's the speculation out there they're going to get in trouble about tampering. With the whole Kirk Cousins situation. Rumor has it that they're probably going to lose a first-round pick next year. So I think they jumped the gun on the quarterback because they're nervous about Kirk Cousins maybe, you know what I'm saying, he's bouncing back from an ACL or something like that. So I think they jumped the gun on the Michael Penix. Not saying he's a bad pick, but you just literally signed a guy to a guaranteed $100 million contract that you obviously felt the need. You needed him so bad, you
for
tampered.
4 years.
Yeah.
For 4 years.
So, I mean, it was a little bit of a head-scratcher.
It is a head-scratcher because Michael Penix Jr. is 24 years old. Mm-hmm. So if Kirk Cousins plays these next 4 years, Michael Penix Jr. isn't going to get a shot until he's 28 years old.
Yeah.
And if we look at it, that's father fucking time in the NFL. Let's be real.
Not so much for quarterbacks, but yeah.
I feel you, but I say that just because of the running back situation. I mean, yeah. Who knows in the next 4 years how we don't think that a quarterback could be just as bad. I mean, I'm just saying. And I know quarterbacks aren't a dime a dozen like running backs are, but still, I mean, there's no telling what's going
to
happen.
I definitely agree with you on the Bills. They were a little head-scratching, especially when you trade your pick to the Kansas City Chiefs so they can get the fastest guy in the combine. So it's like you literally traded the guy, the people you guys are fighting to go against to get to the Super Bowl, you helped the rich get richer.
I also
I mean, he could be the next John Ross. We don't know, but...
Well, he wasn't that good neither.
That's what I'm saying. He could be the next John Ross and be a bust, but he could be the next Tyreek.
Yeah, for real. Absolutely. And I feel like the speed obviously helps guys get into that first round.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not saying he wasn't the best receiver, but I think...
he did put up some numbers collegially. So.
I think the one dude who fell later in the rounds, I think he's going to be the better receiver out of the two, honestly. The one that I wanted, I forgot his name. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I forgot his name. He fell, you know, and then we picked
up. I know you're talking about.
Which I love the Baker pick from UCF, man. He has said all the right things on Twitter. You know what I'm saying? They fucked up. He said they fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna fuck. And you know he also said, he's like, I make people who are in wheelchairs stand up. That's what he said. I love hearing shit like that. I love the cockiness from a rookie, bro. I think, and I don't.
He could be a diamond in the rough for sure.
I don't know if I agree with the Polk pick because I felt like there was better receivers there at the time. But I don't hate it. I think he's going to be a very, you know, the comparison with him, they're saying Jacoby Myers, and I love Jacoby Myers. I thought Jacoby Myers was a really good receiver. He's actually showing that in Oakland, how he'd be a really good number two guy, and I think Polk could be that number two guy for us, absolutely. But, you know, we're going to have a young, speedy receiving corps.
So the Strangler got a good-ass point right there. He's kind of defending the Penix picking a little bit. He's like, you know, I'm assuming they're going to have Penix sit and learn for a few years, which is probably right because I think his contract for Kirk Cousins is front-loaded. So they could cut him after a couple years, and most of that will already be paid.
2 years, yeah.
But he says so many teams draft bust because of the college stats, not drafting the best fit, just drafting the player with the best stats-wise. And I could see he got a very good point on that because I do feel like sometimes quarterbacks don't pan out. I mean, I'm just going to throw a scenario out there.
Well, that's why, honestly, before you say that, go ahead.
I'm going to throw a scenario out there real quick. What if Justin Fields outballs Russell Wilson for the Steelers?
I thought about that.
Because he has shown flashes.
Craig.
And I feel like Russ is kind of a little bit on the down part of his career, and people, like, this defenses have him figured out.
I have two.
Justin Fields has had some pretty good games.
I have two Steelers fans at my work, Davis and my boss, Kev. I have told both of them that I do believe Justin Fields will be starter week one. I do think that's the case. I think Justin Fields is better. He's better on his feet, getting out of the pocket, and getting extra yards.
Well, Russ got to bring it because if not, if you get beat out by Justin Fields, you might as well retire.
I don't think Justin Fields is that bad.
I don't think he's that bad either, but when you go from a like prominent quarterback to where like you're competing for Super Bowls every year, then you just had those couple rough years in Denver, you fell off hard.
I told you about Kwesi, right?
Yeah, he went to the Steelers.
Steelers, yeah. I guess the Detroit thing fell through and Steelers picked him up. So
okay.
I like it.
A
couple local guys went to the NFL.
Where did Talik go?
I thought I seen something about him going to the Eagles, but I haven't seen anything else about that.
Okay.
And I hit him up. He hasn't had some, hit me back up yet, but
we'll have to double check on it.
Yeah,
then.
I haven't seen. So
we'll have to check our sources
for sure.
I bet our favorite Booker mom knows.
Oh, 100%, 100%.
Bet our favorite Booker mom
100%,
knows.
100%, 100%. Who do you think the diamond in the rough? Who do you think someone got that diamond in the rough guy?
I don't know about the whole draft. I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. As far as our diamond in the rough, they're saying that Bucky Irvin could quite possibly be a steal in the draft.
Running back wise.
And even let me look this up real quick cuz I don't want to sound like an idiot on here, but the wide receiver, the Bucs draft picks. Here we go. Bucks 2024 draft class.
Who do you think is going to be better out of Neighbors and Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Jalen McMillan.
McMillan. Yeah. Okay, I thought it was McClain. Yeah.
They're saying he has a lot of potential. He probably would have got drafted higher had he not had the injuries his last year in college. And they were even saying that, yeah, Odunze was like the higher profile receiver. But Odunze even came out after his boy got drafted and said, hey, he was the leader in the wide receiver room. So that speaks volumes. When one of the best receivers on the team is like, hey, I may have the stats from this year because Buddy was injured, but best believe that was our leader in the locker room.
I think it's going to be really good for y'all just because, one, you don't need them to be, you know, flashy season one because you got Chris and you got Mike and you got fucking Cade. You know what I'm saying? So, and then not to mention, you got what's-his-face.
Trey Palmer?
Yeah, Trey was fucking had a nice season for y'all last season.
But I feel like if something happens with Godwin, he gets dinged up every year, a couple games.
Mike does too. Mike misses some time too.
Mike could be on the outside. Trey could be on the other side. And maybe McMillan, he's a really good slot receiver. Maybe he could fill in for Godwin if he gets injured. And then we even had Devin Thompson last year. Did pretty good.
I'm not going to lie. I think I do like the your guys' running back that you picked up.
You know who I like? I think even did the Cowboys pick him up? Who got Blake Corum?
Oh, no. He went to where the hell did he go?
I think he was a good – I know he went right before the Bucks, but I think he was a good pick. That dude runs with authority. He runs with a mean streak. And to get a running back like that in the third round, who do you go to?
This was my other team who I thought had a really good draft. Hadn't had a first-round pick since 2016. Their last first-round pick was 2016.
I know this, but I forget.
The Rams.
The Rams got richer.
The Rams got him.
They did.
And they got fucking, what's his face, who had a really good season last year.
He's
going to
fit in good with the Rams.
I could see him being the starter. I could see him beating out what's his face, who had a really good season last year. He was a rookie, too.
Well, they kind of had a carousel last year.
They did, but that one kid turned on for them real good towards the end of the season. Actually, their running game is a big reason why, in my opinion, they made the playoffs this season. But I thought the Rams, especially getting the two Florida State defensive linemen first two picks, I love that. And then they got Blake Corum in the third round. So I think the Rams also had another good pick. And I agree. I think Blake Corum is kind of my diamond in the rough pick. I loved it just because I remembered him going somewhere really good. And I think the Rams are a team that
just what he did against Penn State alone that second half.
He's a hell, and I think that's why. That's why I think a lot of people need to worry about J.J. McCarthy because J.J. McCarthy is that good of a quarterback, but with how run-heavy Michigan was last year, it just took away from him.
Yeah.
And I think that J.J. McCarthy is accurate. A lot of people are comparing him to Zach Wilson, but I don't think he's that at all. I think J.J. McCarthy could be one of the best quarterbacks in this draft.
Hey, only time will tell.
So, and you know what I loved about Drake May? One of the biggest problems with Mac was...
Did you really order the jersey already?
Yeah.
Okay.
100%.
What's the number?
10.
10, okay.
Mac Jones number, baby. Fuck you, Mac. No, I love Mac Jones. I don't hate Mac Jones. I have no beef with Mac Jones. But the one thing that I did see that I can agree with 100%, the Patriots didn't take the time to see if, or didn't see that Mac Jones never battled any adversity. He, when he was at Alabama, he had Tua, Jalen fucking Hurts, and then he got his shot. You know what I'm saying? And then he had fucking, you know his receiving corps was that year? Jalen Waddle, fucking the dude who's in jail right now for the hit and run, whatever his name is. And then fucking what's his face? Somebody else who's really good who's in NFL
Ridley.
Right now. Ridley. Calvin fucking Ridley. Those are his three receivers, dude. You know, and like, so they never seen that he didn't battle adversity. If you look at Drake May, yeah, Tez went in the fucking and got drafted for them, Walker, but they didn't really have anybody after that. Nah, and he led the league in passing.
He did good against some of the like average teams, but when he did play against some of the better teams, they got beat.
He had to battle adversity constantly at North Carolina, which I love the fact that they finally did. I think Elliott Wolf did a great job at, like I said, getting the people he thought fit best. And just like goes what Strangler said, they pick people that they thought fit best.
Their scheme.
It doesn't matter what Mel Kiper and them think. Fuck those guys.
It really
guys.
Doesn't.
You know what I'm saying? It matters if you think that this player fits your team the best. And granted, like, fuck our opinion as well. You know, but I still think that they definitely...
Well, what you got to understand, too, is it's Mel Kiper and them's job to rank the players who they think are, like, where they would rank at in the ranking system. Just because they're, like you said, it could be the number one cornerback, but if that number one cornerback doesn't fit your scheme or what you're trying to do compared to the fourth cornerback, then fuck it. Take the fourth cornerback because that's your guy. And it's just like they even used to talk about, I mean, even on the 30 for 30, you know I'm a huge Miami fan, and they were talking about when they used to go recruiting. Yeah, but is he a Miami guy? Oh, you know, did you see that one kid from high school, blah, 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 such and such? But is he a Miami guy? Is he us? And you know, it makes a huge difference. You have to bring in people that are for your scheme, that are for your atmosphere, that are for, you know, your mentality, that what you're trying to incorporate into your organization. And we've seen it before in multiple sports, not even just in football, where a guy comes in, maybe they're solid, they're decent or whatever, but they go to another team and get that quote-unquote that second chance. And you see that person really play, like, damn, where was that at the other team? But it's because they fit that scheme, that system, whatever they're trying to do in that organization better.
One thing that I don't like that offensive linemen get such bad ranks of like, oh, they went too early with him. There's better offensive linemen. I don't think you can really go wrong with those higher any top 10 offensive lineman and said drafts, because I think that offensive line is such a precise playing, obviously coming from it, so maybe it has a little biased opinion, but I think it's a position that it's hard to understand what you have to do, but it's not hard to do the job.
But you're not wrong, because not every offense, you could take who had the best offensive line last year. Who was one of the top offensive lines last year?
I would say the Chiefs were pretty good. I would say the Lions were pretty good.
We'll go with the Lions. We'll go with the Lions. I guarantee if you look on the Lions' offensive line, everybody wasn't a first-round draft pick.
Yeah, except Seawall. I mean, Seawall is the only one on that line who I think is first-round pick.
So you can have offensive linemen that are fifth-round beasts and be starters.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, it's – you know, you got to understand your gap assignments and, like, who you're blocking, like, in a blitz and stuff like that. And, you know, you got, like, if you're a center, it's hard because you got to kind of be able to read the blitz coming and call out, you know, your protection. So
if
that
you're a center.
So certain things like that. But, I mean, dude, that center that went in the third round from West Virginia is going to be a beast. And I think, actually, he went to the Steelers, if I'm not mistaken.
Steelers also had another good sneaky draft as well.
They did.
Yeah.
So you don't necessarily have to be a first-round offensive lineman, and you don't have to have a team full of first-round offensive linemen to be good. Because, I mean, hell, the Buccaneers, we had a lineman from Hobart that we picked in, like, the second or third round, and he was really good.
Well, I like that we got the kid Wallace from Penn State because he's a tackle. Yep. We're going to move a Winyu back to guard where he usually plays at, and then we're gonna put our rookie Wallace at right tackle, and then we signed a guy who lost his starting position at left tackle last year. But I take that with a grain of salt, just because of the fact that you can have a bad season with a team and go to another season that blossoms. I can't count how many times we've seen players go from a bad situation to a better situation and they absolutely flourish. You know what I mean? So it's just, I think that I'm even saying that with Klay Thompson. I think Klay Thompson just needs a new scenery for him to get back going and get back to where he needs to be. But I think that could also work with offensive linemen. And like I said, yeah, Joe Alt's probably going to be a great guy. People like Joe Alt. People like freaking Lane Johnson. People like Orlando Pace. Those guys who've been such studs. Joe Thomas, you know what I'm saying, who were studs. Those are going to be studs. If you're a first-round tackle going in the first top five picks, you're obviously a stud. You're obviously a type of guy who could go play in the NFL immediately because of how good you are. But I still think there are those type of guys who you can get, just like you said, in that third, fourth, fifth round, and come and start immediately, just because there's so much talent at that position. You know, I mean, I don't know. It's just it's hard for me to explain, because you just have to, in my opinion, you have to play those positions. Center is probably the hardest job, because me, when I played center, I wanted to know what everybody was doing. Because in my my opinion, center is the most important job outside of left tackle. Because one, you got to snap the ball to the fucking quarterback. And two, you have to direct where everybody's going. You pretty much have to call out what you see on the line. Yeah. That's why when you see on the games, you see your center squatting up and they're pointing, bro. And you don't really see many other people doing that shit. You do, but a center is the main guy pointing out and guiding what they should be doing.
You know, 52 is the mic. 52 is the mic. So,
and that's mainly for the center. So if they have to fucking go to the second level, that's the guy you're looking for. You're looking for 5'2". You're looking for the number rather than trying to find the player. You know what I'm saying? So I think offensive lineman is a position that you can hit on those late rounds regardless of where they are. So that's why I love, you know what I'm saying, the Patriots and what you guys did. I think they addressed the players that they thought was the best.
The big boys don't always get the love, but they get the love on game day when they're keeping that quarterback clean.
Hey, man, if that quarterback's jersey's clean and in the game, you know why. Not because if it's a turf field neither, baby.
Nope.
That was a good show.
Yeah, it was. Who's your way too early rookie of the year?
J.J. McCarthy.
I was going to go that route too, man. I think he has a really good chance of doing that. And I was trying to avoid anything to do, because, I mean, let's just be real with you. Rookie of the year is probably going to be a quarterback.
100%.
So I know nobody from the Bucs is going to get it. Ain't even going to go that route. Ain't even going to try to touch that.
I could say Drake May. The only way Drake May could possibly win Rookie of the Year is if he helps the Patriots get to the playoffs.
I think Caleb Williams has a good chance 100%. Too, but I'm going to go. I want to go with JJ just because 100%. I like the Wolverines.
These are my three finalists for the Rookie of the Year: JJ McCarthy, Caleb Williams, and
Drake May.
Malik Nabers.
Malik Nabers. Okay.
I think he's going to have a better first season than.
Wide receivers never really get it, though. Marvin Harrison Jr. Usually,
you're right.
Usually, you got to be a quarterback to get that rookie of the year.
You're 100% right. But again, I don't think every quarterback's going to pan out.
We'll see.
And I just don't think Drake May is going to be. I don't think Drake May is going to start immediately. I think Jacoby Brissett is going to come in. He's going to be our starter the first few games. And if we start 1-4, then that's Drake May's going to get his time to shine. If we start 4-0, Jacoby Brissett's going to be the guy for the whole season. So
it's going to be interesting.
Absolutely, it will be.
We'll find out. But we are back in football season. Woo! Sort of.
No, it's football season. Once the draft happens, it's football season.
And with that, OTAs and all that stuff's coming up. With that being said, from my boy Derek Futures, I'm your boy High C. Peace out.